Welcome to the Beekeeper's Corner Podcast.
April 1st, 2018, episode number 128. Malawi Sidebar number 1. Hello, one and all. Thanks for taking the time to listen to the podcast. Today is the midpoint between episode releases, and I'm well underway with episode number 129, which will come next Sunday. For today, and happy Easter, everyone, I've put together this sidebar edition that simply has one topic, a conversation recorded about the activities in Malawi, as promised from last week's show. During the recent trip to Africa, on a late night, after a full day of activities, Bob Kloss and I took some time to chat and had a little banter about our experience to that point in the trip. I think that's literally all you need to know about this one. We simply went back and forth recounting our recent activities up until that time. And I thought it was a pretty cool recollection of the trip, so I'm going to post it here as a sidebar episode. I'll be back next week for the new installment. So until then, enjoy this conversation.
Hey, so here we are.
What day is it? Beautiful, Tuesday.
Yeah, beautiful downtown Sakata in the Zamba region of Malawi.
It feels like we've been here for forever.
It does, doesn't it? Yeah.
You know, something about the super long flight, 14 plus hours, and then a break, and then 2 hours, and then a ride over here, hour plus, and we didn't come right here. We stopped in some little plaza on our first day.
That's right.
Where'd we go?
On our first day? When was that? was that a month ago?
Flew out on Saturday, but we arrived here on... No, we flew out on Friday. We arrived here on a...
Saturday.
But where's the first place we got to? When we come to Africa, what's the first place we went to?
The first place in Africa, we stopped at Johannesburg.
No, I mean...
Then we came, okay, so we took the plane to Blantyre, and then we took the truck. So where did we come? I can't even remember.
We went to ShopRite.
Even that seems like a month ago.
I guess I should explain that to everybody. Our local grocery store in Flemington, where we go, I don't know about you guys, but we call it ShopRite. That's the name of it.
Yep, and so we get here, and the first thing that Liz says to us, Liz is our hostess, is, we're going to stop at the ShopRite if we have to pick up a few things. Sure enough, we drive and drive and drive, and all of a sudden there's a big ShopRite sign, and we pull in. God, I forgot all about that. So we had eaten a lot on the plane, right? They fed us. God, meal after meal. So we had dinner the first time. Then we had breakfast.
Right.
And then we had lunch again on the second flight.
Right.
So we were pretty full. But we sat down and had soda. So, yeah, let's talk about the soda down here.
Well, I had a Diet Coke, or what do they call it? There was a different name for it. It's escaping me.
I can't remember, but... I didn't have any soda that first day, but we stopped off after a long day yesterday at one of our helpers' homes. I met his wife, and she says, "Do you want something to drink?" And she brings out either Coke or Fanta. So I wasn't into any caffeine at that point in the day. I wanted to sleep. So I popped this Fanta, and it's the best tasting Fanta I've ever tried.
I know. I had a Coke and it was really good. Coke is a Coke, but it was really good. Glass bottle, that helped.
Yep.
But today I had a Fanta and I have to agree with you. It was spectacular.
Wasn't it?
Yeah.
I actually...
It's the small things in life, isn't it?
I actually, because everybody was raving about the Coke, tasting like the old Coke in the old days, the good stuff. And I had a Coke today, but it didn't really hit me the way that Fanta did. It was just so orangey and sweet. But what we think is that it's because it's got a ton of sugar in it and not high fructose corn syrup.
Yeah.
So get a real buzz, at least for a short period of time, off that sugar. But food, we had quite a food experience today. So the first couple of days, we ate mostly here. You know, we have get a breakfast, eggs and potatoes and maybe some fruit that's local. Avocado, we've been eating a lot of avocado.
Avocado is really good here.
It is good. It's ripe, you know. When you eat it, it's ready to be eaten. And even the bananas. The bananas look a little beat up, but they're sweet.
Did you try that dessert tonight? It had avocado.
Oh, yeah.
And banana. And
what's the other one? Oh, I keep forgetting it.
Some sort of fruit.
Yeah. It looks like cantaloupe, but it's not. I forget what it's called. But
whatever it was. It was a very good combination. I would have never thought avocado would taste good in a mix like that.
Yeah.
Do you hear what she said? They sprinkle sugar on it.
Yeah, sugar on avocado. It probably doesn't even need it.
It wasn't mango. It wasn't guava. What was it?
It'll pop into my head when I don't think about it. But today we ate local food for one of the first times. I think we had something else.
Wait, don't go there yet. So we're let's talk about when we got here.
Oh, God. Okay.
We came up that driveway.
Yeah, you're really straining my brain here.
I know. First I should set this up as it's, what, 11 o'clock at night?
Yeah.
We've been up since 5 this morning, and we went out. We had breakfast at 6, left at 7. We've been teaching beekeeping all day, literally. And we got back, and we're trying to get our life organized for tomorrow. And yesterday was the same thing. We went to service, 3 hours, church service.
Mm-hmm.
And but, you know, when we got here, one of the things, we drove in from the airport on a regular road.
Yep, the only paved road.
The only paved road
that we've
seen.
Been on.
Yeah.
We've seen since we've been
and
there.
And they drive on the wrong side of the road here, which I didn't know. Did you know that?
Nope. It makes sense when you think about it. But
it's funny, the other day when they pulled up, we had 3 cars caravanning us around. Mm-hmm. We pulled up and you were sitting in what would be the driver's seat. I'm like, Bob's driving? Thought that was kind of funny.
Yeah, I just sat there.
But the driveway coming up to the farm...
It's the worst.
It's hideous.
We've been...
The roads are terrible here, but the driveway is...
The roads are terrible. None of them are paved, right? So they're all dirt. They're all beaten down, so it's like clay. And, of course, once it rains, they get slippery like clay does. And they're all rutted because they don't do anything to them. They're basically... The roads are made by people just walking and walking and walking in the same space.
Yeah.
And a couple of cars and maybe a motorbike here or there.
Bicycles.
So a few of those. But the road leading up here. I mean, how long does it take? It's not that long a road, but you can only go about 15 because you're weaving through all these potholes. And when I say potholes, I'm talking about, you know, these are...
They would swallow any American car.
I don't know how the suspensions on these cars last. But, you know, you're literally crawling 15, so just when you want to get home, you get that last 2 miles maybe up this dirt road, and it takes forever.
It reminds me of the Jeep commercials where they take the Jeep off into the stream, wondering why you would ever do that. But that's literally what it is. And Liz has a Land Rover.
Yeah.
So let me, it's like a old school Land Rover. It's a modern one, but it's got the... pipe that comes up next to the post on the windshield so that you could go into water with it. It's one of those.
Yeah.
And that thing has 2 bench seats that run front to back, and you sit in the back, army style, and the suspension is so rough on that.
So that's the thing. It's bad enough that the roads are the way the roads are, but then we're packed into these things. We're basically... I mean, we've got close to 10 people in 2 cars, so you're just jammed up, plus all your supplies. So, I mean,
I've had my concussion, and one of the things that has happened is it has just rattled my brain the entire time we were here. The roads are just terrible. And they're not roads. When we drove out the first day, he pulled off the road into what looked like a farm lane.
Yeah.
And that was the good part. We're literally driving through... So they have this idea of villages. What would you describe a village as?
There's no the roads aren't to me aren't roads. They're mostly like paths through the woods.
Some of them are literally like, you know,
single file.
So let's describe behind my house. There's a farm.
Yeah.
And the land on that farm is landlocked. You can't get into it. So somebody made a path, two lanes for your tires to drive. Mm-hmm. That road is markedly improved over anything that we've seen here. When they drive in, they just turn left into a field, basically.
Yeah. Well, so here's the kicker. This is what she did today. So I came back with Liz, and we get to the end of the driveway, and she stops, and she says, I know the road's pretty bad, guys. She says, anybody want to walk back?
Yeah.
Yeah. And we were all so damn tired. We just looked at her like, I don't think so. I'd rather be bumped around.
Let me tell you.
So, but I thought that says a lot about the road. If she's saying, you know, you might be better off getting out and walking than being jostled around. And the worst part was, I got all the way up here, and as she was pulling in, I kind of relaxed myself. And my head snapped back when she hit this big pothole, like right when she's ready to park. And I got, you know, get that nerve pain that just goes like,
I know. Yeah. I've literally bounced off the seat yesterday coming up the driveway.
Yeah.
But 1 foot off the seat, head smashed into the ceiling, just launched off of it. And you're trying to brace yourself any way you can.
And that's worse.
It's impossible.
Because you're all tense.
Yeah.
So I'm driving back, and Virginia is sitting across from me, and we're like almost knee to knee to begin with. Well, when you start bouncing back and forth, yeah, she's hitting me in my knees. We're like knocking knees, and she's going, "Oh, I'm so sorry." I said, "Oh, was that you or me?"
Yeah.
So yeah.
So the conditions, you know, to describe them are just more deplorable than we could have ever imagined. And so going back to the concept of village, let's describe a house, right? It's a single room, maybe two or three rooms, but the footprint is about the size of a normal living room, the entire house. Yeah. Dirt floor, no lights, no windows in some of these houses.
Mm-hmm. And what's it made of? It's made of mud bricks. Literally mud that's been dried in the sun into bricks, and then the mortar is also more of this mud. So that's pretty typical, those houses.
Every single house looks the same here, right? Clay style bricks.
Yep.
Some of them have metal roofs, but most of them have thatch.
Yeah, and all the thatch roofs leak. So you actually know the status of somebody. If somebody can afford a tin roof, they're doing pretty well.
A villager we met yesterday had a family of nine, plus other relatives. And he had two rooms, and this was the tiniest house, and he had problems with the roof on one side. And whenever it rains, and it rains a lot here, they all have to squeeze into the one room.
Mm-hmm.
Sleep, whatever it may be.
Yeah,
it's unbelievable. You can't describe how the conditions these folks live in.
Well, even just talk, you know, windows. So there are, all the windows look the same, and they all have, I won't say they're ornate, but they've got either bars to keep the animals out or a pattern out of the concrete to keep the animals out. But there's no screens. There's no glass.
Right.
Right? And they're in these houses. The houses are absolutely dark. So when it gets dark at 6 o'clock at night, you're in for the evening. But
it was pretty hot here, right? We have the windows open, and we're sitting here, and the breeze is blowing in. And what did we encounter? You took a spider out, because I'll admit, I hate spiders. The thing was about as big as a silver dollar.
Yeah. I just saw the biggest bug. I don't know what the hell it is, but it's as big as a mouse.
You ever see the movies of, like, or the television show with Andrew Zimmern? Yeah. Where he's taking the bug and he's going to eat it? Yeah. That's what that thing is on the floor over there.
I'm telling you. It's almost chipmunk size, this thing.
As we sit here and record, there's a gecko up in the corner or whatever. Iguana? Oh, what is that thing?
That's your roommate. Yeah, it's some kind of gecko or lizard.
It's bigger than my hand.
Yeah.
He's just kind of hanging up there.
He just moves from room to room.
Did you see the size of the praying mantis in the shower?
Yeah, I did.
It was huge. Yeah, so anyway, that just gives you a little sense of our bug.
But haven. So let's go there.
Moths.
But it
do you
actually,
see the ants on the wall over there?
Yeah. Oh gosh, yeah. So, you know, we had a little incident with fire ants today.
Yes.
So I think I was telling you before, we've been traipsing through, you know, all kinds of brush and through fields and corn and over, you know, where you're just basically bushwhacking it. You got these little paths. You know, if I was home, I'd come home, I'd have 15 ticks on me.
Yeah.
Be bitten up by the mosquitoes or the black flies. Here, surprisingly, there's no bugs.
There's no bugs. Now, isn't that weird?
They're in your house, but they're not out of the
woods.
I have
to say, though, today when we walked through that, we went to, what were there, 7 or 8 hives?
Yeah.
Hanging. And we literally traipsed through fields next to a river with rocks throughout strewn. And as I'm walking, you guys all went one way, and I was trying to get a good angle to take a photograph from the light.
Yeah.
And I walk through the field through this rocky little outcrop, and I'm thinking to myself, oh, I'm going to step on a snake out here.
Well, it's funny you say that. That's where we got the ants. So we're all standing there. We're at the first top bar, and they hang these things from the trees. So we're taking the top off, and we're starting to look around and smoking a little bit. And all of a sudden, I see Tom, and he's down, and he's scratching his legs, and he's itching. And, you know, okay, he says something, got some bugs or something. Then all of a sudden he goes, ow! And he looks down. And then was Frank. Then Frank was with us. Frank goes, oh, no, they're the bad ones. And I don't know, they were these little red ants. I figured fire ants. But whatever they were, we all go running into the field in between the furrows, right? So we're staying out
Frank
of the
Frank is the head beekeeper here, VIP, yeah. Malawi.
And I mean, literally, they took their shoes and socks off to clean these ants out, and they had their pants hiked up to their knees, over their knees, trying to pick these things
off.
Well,
so this is what we saw. We were at the hive prior to that, and they had just opened the hive. There were a couple bees flying around, and I gave my suit to somebody else.
That's right.
Right? Yeah. And I'm standing here with the camera trying to take pictures and making sure I'm not getting shot, remembering that we got completely lit up earlier
today. We'll talk about that later.
Right?
Yeah.
And I see you guys come out of the woods, and you're all doing that dance where you're patting your legs and all that. We're like, oh no, they're getting lit up over there. We thought the bees were stinging you, and all the little kids followed us out from the road. There must have been 20 of them. And they see you guys run out from the beehive, and their eyes are this big. They thought for sure you were kidding.
Well, what's funny about that is it was good for me because I was third in line.
Yeah.
So Tom got it worse. Frank got it pretty bad. And I luckily didn't get any, but they were crawling on my shoes and up my pants, and I got them in time. But that was the first attack of insects that we've had. You know, we've had a lot living in here with us, but none of them really have bothered us. But let's talk about the bees. So what did we do today? So today we harvested some honey, and then we demonstrated how to use a honey press and get the honey out of
the comb. Wait, so let's talk about the way this setup was.
Yeah, go ahead.
We were in what they refer to as a school building.
Yeah.
It looks kind of like a park setting, right?
Yeah.
You know, an outdoor building that you might host something in with a
picnic tables, yeah.
That's what it looks like to me. I keep trying to picture what these buildings look like.
Like you might call it a pavilion.
A pavilion.
Right.
They're not made of cinder block, but they at home they would be made of cinder block. And they have open sides, this one did, and the back was closed. And what they did was set up rows of plastic chairs. And they pinned paper up on the front and wrote on it with a marker. They wrote the agenda out.
Yep.
So this is the Beekeepers Association for Malawi. And we were guests at their beekeepers meeting. So we've attended our first beekeepers meeting in Africa.
Yeah, so this was the first day we've seen bees before today. But we didn't really work bees. So today was the first day. We're going to go into the top bars, and we're going to pull honey, and then we're going to put it through this press and put it through a strainer and, you know, put it in a bottle. So this first hive we go to...
The guy who owned the house that we went behind, he looked so proud, didn't he?
Yeah.
He looked thrilled to death that we were at his house, like, you know.
This hive was booming. You take the top off, and it's just full.
Oh, wait, let me see.
You were there before.
I went in before everybody. I knew where the hive was, and you guys all stopped to get suited up. And I went in with no suit on, and I put a GoPro up in above the tree.
Pointing down at the hive. Yeah.
I had it set up, and as soon as I got there, I felt like a quick buzz, and then 2 seconds later, I was being chased.
Yeah.
And I beat feet because I had no idea what was going to happen. Yeah. And I hustled out. But that was the first clue that they were not going to be friendly.
Well, by the time I got up there, I had just a veil on. I had no gloves. And I didn't think I needed them. The way Tim described these bees is, yeah, they were maybe a little bit more temperamental, maybe a little more defensive, but they were workable. Well, they get there, and there's a million bees in the air to begin with, and they're just pinging off your veil.
As soon as they took the roof off.
Yeah, they just kind of came out, and they oversmoke the bees over here, and that just pisses them off. Then they start harvesting honey, and you know, you have to handle a top bar in a certain way. Otherwise, you're going to break the comb. Well, first of all, they're breaking the comb to take it off, but even when they pick it up, it starts to break. Now you got honey leaking, right? So the bees were in a frenzy. I hadn't seen anything like that. You know, it did remind me of Africanized bees, even though we know these are not the hybrids that are really, really nasty, but they sure acted that way. And I think it was a couple things. As I saw more hives later in the day, I was able to kind of assess what was going on with this one. This hive was so strong. I mean, that thing was crawling with
bees. I don't know if you saw my side. So I had a video camera, and I walked around the back of the hive. Everybody was working the front, and I stuck my camera in there, and I filmed quite a bit, right?
Yeah.
I had no gloves on, and I'm in there, and I said something to Tim, like, Tim, you get stung yet? Because he had no gloves on. He goes, yeah, I got stung once on the hand. Everything was good until what was a couple dynamics. The kid with the smoker, I don't remember his name.
I don't either.
Every 3 seconds he would come in, and Tim would push him back.
Yeah.
He'd come in, and Tim would push him back. He just kept smoking on it. You know?
And Tim warned us about that. He warned us that they oversmoke them and they get defensive. Well, I was standing right behind you guys then, actually. And there were bees covering the side of the hive. It looked almost like a swarm up on the... You saw those too, right? They were up on the trunk of the tree. It looked like a swarm was beginning to form. And I think it was... There were just so many bees out of the hive that... They just started to accumulate up there.
So the reason I told you where I was standing, because I don't think you guys all saw this, on the back side of the hive, all the bees came out and they walked down the back side. The entire back side, you couldn't have taken a pin and stuck it in the wood. Oh. It was covered with bees.
Yeah.
I was amazed at how many bees were in that hive.
Yeah, yeah.
That thing was as strong as could be.
So that was the problem, right? So first we're going in, we're stealing their honey. They had a lot of honey. Right, they had a huge population, and then we start, you know, getting messy. Well, and talk about the top bars. The top bars, it's not like when you think about my top bar, your top bar at home, where they're nice, they're milled, they all, you know, butt up against each other, and it's nice and tight. These things, first of all, they're different lengths, right? They're different widths, and some of them are warped. Most of them, I would say,
gaps,
are warped.
Gaps throughout.
Yeah, so there's no way you can
cross comb all over. Yeah. By the way, how about the hive? Was
Yeah, it was tilted to
one of the
side.
Things I brought was levels.
Yeah.
They don't grasp the concept of levels. They hang their hives from a tree by wire. Then they grease the wire to keep things from crawling down the wire.
Yeah.
They don't put them on the ground. But none of the hives we saw today were level, were they?
Not even.
Every one of them was, one corner was lower, one end was lower.
Not even, there was, wasn't one that was even close. So that was, well, tell them when we went in that hive about the women. So, you know, here, one of the things about Malawi is women are kind of second-class citizens. Like, we went to visit some homes in the villages yesterday, and they put out chairs for the men, and the men sat on the chairs, and then they just put out a straw mat that the women sat on right on the ground, right? So women are still...
We were prepped ahead of time not to be...
Yeah. It's completely different. I mean, they are definitely second-class citizens. They get less education, all of that stuff. So, anyway, there were a number of women beekeepers at this meeting, and I thought that was good. Yeah, you get the ladies involved. They make good beekeepers. We know lots of women beekeepers. So they got suited up. You know, we didn't have complete suits for everybody, so it wasn't like you were suited head to toe and you had gloves and... You know, some people had veils on, some people had a jacket on, some people, if they were lucky, had a jacket and gloves. But as is the way in Malawi, the women follow behind. So the men are all in there stirring up all of these. Well, you saw it. You describe it better than I did.
Yeah.
So what happened?
They were going crazy, and everybody was standing off in the periphery, and then all of a sudden everybody beat retreat. Everybody. And Liz got stung, what, in the face, right?
Twice in the face. Yeah.
They were, you know that situation where you have somebody who's standing like 20 feet off watching, thinking they're safe, and they're the ones that get zapped?
And they were at least that far away, maybe a little bit farther. And they just hightailed it out of there. That's how riled up the bees were. I went over, originally I stand in the cornfield, just trying to... Put a little barrier between me and the bees. And then I said, well, I want to see what's going on. So as I moved up, I had no gloves on, so I put my hands in my pockets right up to my shirt cuff, and I kept them there.
Well, they finished taking whatever honey they wanted.
Yeah.
All of them were dressed like spacemen, right? They're covered head to toe.
Talk about that too.
With their huge rubber gloves and
really thick rubber gloves, you know. I mean, like, just so clumsy that just the fact that you're wearing these is pissing the bees off. And what about, we talk about gloves, what about Tom? Tom pulls over when he's done. He shows me his gloves.
Yeah.
And they're just covered with stingers.
Yeah.
I mean, covered with stingers.
It looked like Africanized bee stinger.
That's exactly what it looked like. It looked like he had been attacked.
Well, so this is what... They finished what they... They took whatever honey they wanted. Brood and all.
Yeah, that's true.
They took a lot of brood out of that hive.
They did.
Really nice brood. Nice patterns in that hive.
It probably wasn't the right time to be harvesting. I'm not clear on their seasons here. I know we're coming out of the wet season, but I don't know when you would normally harvest. But
Tim thought that the hive was strong enough that it would recover enough to give them another crop.
Yeah, but the difference was that the frames weren't filled out, all filled out with the... They all had brood and honey on them.
Right.
So, I don't know. I wouldn't have harvested.
It was strange the way that was arranged, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It wasn't like they had the brood nest. It was almost the brood nest was running along the bottom of all the combs.
Yeah, that was different. Well, the bees are different. We talked about that.
They're really small.
Up front, they're much smaller. Obviously, just by looking at them, obviously smaller. But so I first, when we got done with that, I figured, oh my God, these things are nastier than Tim said. And you know, if I had to work bees in a full suit or even a half a suit with Gigundo leather gloves on, I probably would quit beekeeping. That's not fun.
Yeah.
You know, it really isn't fun. So I was a little apprehensive, but then we went.
Well, wait, I didn't think much of it, right?
Yeah.
I went back to go get my GoPro.
Oh.
Did you know that?
No. And you had...
What happened. I go back to get my GoPro. And Gary followed me in, and he took a couple pictures, and they started getting nasty, and he left. When I reached up over the hive to get my GoPro, which was up in the tree, and pulled it down, I went to turn and leave, and I got hit. Like somebody threw rocks at me. Pop, 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 pop. I got hit on the top. I had my yellow...
The Italian hood.
Which sits right down on the dome of my head,
that's
right?
That's right. It's a hat.
Never been stung in that thing.
Built in, right.
Well, that ended today. So I got hit like 7-8 times, really forcefully. Pop, 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 pop. And then all of a sudden, it was game on. I got stung like 6 times across the top of the hat. 2 or 3 broke through. I got stung on the suit. My hands, I got stung twice on the hands and once on the back of the leg. And I left. They followed me for a quarter mile.
Well, to talk about that, so before we went, we said, okay, we're not going to come back the same way that we went in because they're going to be riled up, and so we're going to take a different way back so that they can't follow us.
Right, because we were really pretty short distance back to where we were going.
So... Now, these things are all over us. They're swarming all over us. They're biting any part of your skin that's exposed. And we start walking away through this cornfield. Well, you're 10 feet away. You're 20 feet away. You're 30 feet away. They're still following you. You're 40 feet away. I mean, we walked halfway across that field before they finally, you know, left us alone.
You guys got not... I had to go even further. You know what I was doing? You guys walked on the path.
Yeah.
I walked between the corn. Huh. I was using the corn leaves to try and flick the bees off of them.
Yeah,
I had one still on me when we got back to the school.
Yeah, they were nuts. But then at least, so that was not a good first impression. And you know, as I thought about it, I was trying to think, well, was it just sloppy beekeeping that really pissed them off? But they had definitely had a more defensive attitude to begin with.
Yeah.
And then we probably made it worse because, first of all, there was how many people standing around the hive and, you know, too much smoke and the frames having the gaps between them and this thing just full of bees. I mean, I don't think I've ever seen a top bar that had that many bees in it.
So I have an off comment to say, but it's hot here all the time and their hygiene is not equivalent to U.S. hygiene.
For sure.
And they made a statement today. Did you hear it this morning about their odor and standing upwind?
Yeah,
Did you hear that?
Yes.
That was like a literal instruction, is that you need, when you're doing stand, but maybe the odor of everybody standing there?
Yeah. What they said was, because they were teaching some new beekeepers or potential beekeepers, so the more experienced guys got up and they said, when you approach the hive, you should approach it from downwind. Okay, so in other words, your scent is blowing away from the hive, not toward the hive,
right. Because
that they get the scent and that would alarm them. And yeah, I didn't think of anything of it. And Tim didn't, you know, we didn't want to be rude and say, well, no, that's not right, right? So we just kind of listened to it.
Well, that is right. I mean, you know, you're not supposed to go out with, like, one of the things they'll tell you in the U.S. is don't mow your yard. Get really bad BO, and then go work the bees. You're going to take punishment for that.
That's true.
And no offense, but there are several ripe people we've encountered this weekend.
Yeah.
You know?
So it's probably good advice in Malawi.
Yeah.
So then we went and did inspections. We broke up into a couple of groups and did some other inspections. And the first one was dead. Well, we should talk about why they were dead. They were dead because someone stole the honey, killed the bees and stole the honey.
Yeah.
So they had, I forget the numbers, I think they had 10 or 15. Okay. 10 or 15, or was it maybe even 20 to begin with? And a number of them were stolen. The honey was stolen, the bees were killed. So the first one we open up, there's nothing in it. There's no comb. And what they said to me was, well, they took... bars and all, top bars and all, so we had to put new top bars in. So they had a little bit of wax on them.
Is that why all those hives were missing top bars here and there?
Yes.
Ah.
They don't
nobody
have...
said that now. Oh, that's interesting.
Well, so that was the first...
Yeah, because universally, each of the hives we opened today were missing a couple bars. Everybody...
Mine more than a couple. So we go to the first one, and it's pretty much full. So I didn't think anything of it. When we get to the second one, we pop the cover off, and this mouse goes jumping off in a big-ass mouse nest, right? And what had happened was that it had come in probably just north of center, right? So it was on one, kind of on one end, but more in the middle. And it chased the bees. And the bees went all the way down, and they were at the end. And there was only three or four frames of them. So we got rid of the mouse, and we start taking the empties out. And I said, okay, what are we trying to educate, right, and not tell people, but have them figure it out. You know, what are we doing now? Why? What should we be looking for, right? Trying to say we should be looking for evidence of a queen. Don't have to see the queen, but evidence of the queen. So we start working, and we pull a frame, these last three or four, and it's got brood on it. And it's a nice pattern. It was kind of light, so I couldn't see in the light. So I handed it to Tom. I said, Tom, is that brood or is that honey? He says, I think it's brood. I pulled it down. It was. So I said, okay, we've got a queen. So anyway, with that hive, they were all down at one end. So once we got rid of the mouse, I put them right in the center, because their actually preferred style is to have an entrance right in the dead center, in the middle.
Yeah, why?
I don't know.
Why do you think they design the hives that way here?
I don't know, but you know what? If I had to design my own hives, I think I would do the same thing.
You would put it in the middle?
Yeah, I would. That's what kind of surprises me, that with these golden mean hives, they're on the end. All right, so describe the hive.
It's three feet long. It's V-shaped. It's pretty steep V, didn't you think?
Yeah. They were pretty deep.
Pretty deep.
Yeah. Yeah.
They had a solid bottom, right?
They did, yeah.
They're closed. No openings at all on either end.
Well, that's funny. No openings.
No openings.
There was a lot of places that bees were coming and going.
Well, theoretically, when they're new, no openings. One single bee width slit about 3 inches long, right in the middle on one of the sides.
Yeah.
And then the roof was a solid roof, and it had like a tar piper covering on a bunch of them.
Yeah, yeah.
But what was the condition of almost every hive?
Oh, my God. They're old. They've been out there a while. And, of course, they haven't been finished. There's no paint. There's no stain. There's no nothing on them. So
part of the problem with that really aggressive hive was there were holes all over the place.
Well, what happens?
There was no entrance.
If you don't treat the wood, it's just going to warp like crazy. I mean, yeah. It might warp anyway, but if you're not doing anything,
no, it had a rotten hole in the one corner and a rotten hole on the other end down on the bottom. The wood was separated. I mean, there were five entrances on the hive. Nothing was coming and going out of the real entrance.
I know, but think about. Down here, you get that rainy season. It's humid all the time.
Yeah.
That just got to kill these hives. So anyway, they were in really bad shape. So we took the...
Were they thicker substrate?
I think they were thicker than ours. I think they might have been...
They seemed to be one inch, didn't they?
Yeah, 3/4 to an inch, I would say. Well, no, that's the other thing. So, no frame rest on a lot of them. So the first one I went in had frame rests on both sides. So you put the top bars down and you had somewhere to put them, like a ledge. And but the second one, I look in and they're just leaning against the walls. And some of them are like this.
Tilted.
And some of them end up big spaces.
You know how that is. When you put the roof on, everything goes the wrong direction.
Yeah. So anyway, we centered the one because they like to come into the center to go into the brood nest. And that one was small. So we didn't get, they really weren't nasty at all. But again, three frames of bees.
Yeah, right.
Right? Oh, and no honey stores in that one. So they had nothing to defend. They were small and weak, and they were just like normal bees.
They should now recover, though, right? Fully.
I think so.
It looks like there's reasonable forage here, don't you think?
I think so. I think, yeah, I don't know what it is, because I'm not familiar with the flowers, but we saw a lot of things in bloom.
Yeah.
And I'm not
Did you hear what he said about... They put a hive out, and within a day, possibly, something comes and occupies it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because that's the other thing is they don't buy bees. Obviously, they just set the boxes up and wait for a swarm to move in. Because that was interesting too. I talked to Tim, and I was trying to describe to Tim how maybe we can talk to them about. Where they should put the empty frames to open the brood nest in the spring so they don't swarm. And this is where, you know, we're not even in the same world. He says to me, well, they don't care if they swarm. You know, yeah. Like we don't need to teach them swarm prevention because they're not going to try to prevent swarming. To them, swarming is just natural. Makes two colonies out of one, and if you have another box up and you catch it, now you got twice as many bees. So he's right. You know, they're not going to do. Not worried about swarming.
Yeah. If any of the takeaway messages, beekeeping is just ridiculously, utterly uncomplicated, stupid, simple here.
Yeah, primitive is what.
Primitive.
That has a derogatory, but it is. It's primitive. It's very basic.
We looked at their hives and said, well, they should have better frames, and they should, you know, I made the statement of, have you ever, they hang all their hives, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, so yeah.
You could make a stand, right, like an X-brace.
They all looked at you like you were nuts.
They thought I was nuts.
Yeah.
But, you know, what Tim said is the lumber is so expensive here that they can't afford the lumber to build the X-brakes.
Yeah.
Because everything's wire is cheap.
Yeah, it's all hanging off of
trees. So everything is really about cost.
Yeah. Yep.
So let's talk about, we'll finish today's thing. Let's talk about the honey press they had. Mm-hmm. That was an interesting, did somebody hand make that thing? That's what it looks like, right?
It sure looked like it. I didn't go up close to look because I wanted them to watch.
Yeah.
But just looking at it, first of all, everything is, it's built like a tank. It's, you know, cast iron.
It looked like it was made out of angle iron.
Right? It weighed a ton, and it'll never break because it's just too strong.
It reminds me of 60s engineering, right? In the 60s when they built industrial things, everything.
Yeah. Almost like the Industrial Revolution.
So it had like a square box with a V-shape welded on the bottom and a little port on the bottom. Mm-hmm. And then it had a similar square with a V-shape. This is what I think I saw.
Yeah.
And that's attached to a spiral.
A screw.
And so it just goes down and smashes whatever's inside the chamber. Mm-hmm. And it all pours out of that little hole in the bottom. Mm-hmm. And they put a simple box with a screen underneath, sitting on top of a bucket.
Right. That was something, I don't know whether they made that box or whether they bought it. It sounded like he might have bought that at the local bee supply. There is a local bee supply store here. They don't carry, you know, an extensive inventory, but they have stuff. But people can't afford it, so, you know, they're not gonna do it. But yeah, that was good. So then we had the honey contest.
Honey tasting.
Yeah, so we wanted to get them used to the idea. And that honey that Eric has is really nice. It's almost water white.
Yeah.
And it's got a little minty flavor, pretty much.
I didn't taste the honey. Did you taste it?
I tasted it the other
night. I was a little
night.
Nervous. You know why?
Because everybody double dipping?
No, they were washing the spoons in the regular water.
Yeah.
I wasn't gonna. Nope.
Yeah, you thought better of it than I did. Although I didn't eat any anyway. But
hopefully nobody's sick tonight.
So he had this water white honey, and it had the mint flavor. So it was probably linden, you know, something like that. Then I had mine, which is the medium amber. And then they had theirs, which they had just pressed. So we decided, okay, let's have a honey contest. And, you know, everybody tastes all three. And then we'll say, okay, who liked this one the best, and count it up, and who liked this one? So we did that. And I was pleasantly surprised that they described that the water white honey as having a minty peppermint flavor. So that was good. They picked that right up. And so that one had to get 12 votes, so that won. And then the other two of us were just kind of bringing up the rear, four or five.
So what's the key characteristic of their honey?
Oh, smoke.
Smoke. So this is what's funny about that. Even the honey we extracted today that they pressed out tastes like smoke. Mm-hmm. But Tim had a jar that they extracted, pressed, not with us. And it tasted like barbecue smoke. Did you try that?
Yeah, no.
Oh, the one today, you know, I said this earlier, the guy kept coming in with the smoker, Tim kept putting it back. But, when you smoke the hive, the wax gets the smoke flavor and all that. Yeah. And then they crush it all together and it kind of, you know, the smoke gets in the honey itself. So every We've had four different samples of honey from here. Mm-hmm. Every one of them has a smoke aftertaste.
Yeah, and one of them was really kind of...
But the one that they hosted, the one that I tasted today, it smelled like an ashtray.
Yeah.
It was really, really bad.
Yeah,
and
it's really thin, so it probably has a lot of water in it.
There wasn't a lot of cap on that one that, you know, he chose like three major frames, and they were only capped halfway down.
Halfway, yeah. Well, that was something else. Our first honey contest in Malawi. And what about your friend that just kept scoffing the stuff down, spoon after spoon after spoon?
I had my camera, and I elbowed Mary and said, look. He'd look around and see if anybody was there, and he'd take his spoon and he'd scoop around the edge of the box, I guess, that was used for the filter, mm-hmm. and he'd take this like luscious lick of the spoon, and then he'd sit there for a minute and he'd reminisce over it, and then he looked around and he looked back in the box and
another one.
He did like seven or eight scoops in a row, you know.
Yeah.
It was funny. We both giggled, Mary and I, watching that. I took a picture of him with a spoon and that look on his face.
Yeah, and it was too bad we had to cut that short because they were having a funeral in the village, and when they have a funeral, pretty much everything shuts down.
Yeah.
So I guess somebody passed yesterday, and they allowed us to do an early morning, but we were running into the afternoon. So anyway, we cut it short. We'll make it up on Friday, but that's when we went to look in the hives and go, what about this? What about we get to, we can't even, I don't know how to describe this, but we pull up, and first of all, there's a million people waiting for us. There's men, there's women, there's children.
Well, we went to visit a second village.
Yeah.
And they were anticipating us.
Right.
And when we pulled up, we got the first sign of it, because they were all cheering in the street.
Yeah.
And you look to the left and where these homes were, all of a sudden all these women came out, yeah. And they were all carrying food.
Yeah, yeah.
And listen, up, looks like we're going to have lunch today, or something like that was their comment.
Well, they come out and they are singing and dancing and hooting, making noises, you know, those those kind of noises.
Yeah.
And they grab Liz and they're dancing and, I mean...
They did like three songs in a row.
Yeah, you would think the Savior, I shouldn't say that, the Savior Jesus Christ, the way they taught us.
It was cool, reception we got.
I filmed that because that's priceless. It's so hard to describe, but that's also, that's how the Malawi people are, is they're very kind, personable, friendly. You know, they don't seem to have a mean bone in their body. So they were really, and they expressed themselves. Like, what about church? Church was...
Except for the market.
Yeah.
We went to the market on the first day after we went to ShopRite.
Yeah. So that place was crazy. First of all, it was Sunday, so there was a lot of people there. And it was a pretty big market. You know, it had several areas to it, some that were covered, some that weren't. And we were the only white people there, let's face it. We were the only white faces, so we stood out and everybody was staring at us. And you know, that's the first time you get that reverse discrimination feeling where you go, okay, so this is what it's like to be the minority.
Yeah.
And it was a little uncomfortable, but nobody was threatening or nasty. They just wanted to hawk their goods, and they were chasing you and singing songs to
that one guy singing a song. At the top of his lungs, wouldn't be quiet.
Yep.
Followed Tim Schuler.
Yeah.
Followed Tim for probably 15 minutes, just shouting like, blah, 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 blah.
Yep. And again, a lot of the food is just laid on a mat on the ground.
Some of it looked so good, though.
And
the
people,
beans,
yeah,
the rice. The
carrots looked really good.
Yeah. The produce looked good.
Yep. And then you go outside and there's chickens, you know, they're holding them by their legs, strung up. Oh, you want a chicken?
They're clucking still.
And then you walk down, you walk two booths down, and all of a sudden you got pocketbooks and shoes. So That was the one
pile of shoes, and they look like knockoff. What are the shoes that Mario Batali always wore? You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, the Crocs.
Crocs. Yeah. Cheap plastic Crocs, flip flops.
Yeah.
Crazy shoes.
Well, that's the other thing. Some people wear shoes here and some don't.
Yeah.
And some people wear flip flops. I can understand flip flops would be good, but there's a lot of people that go barefoot, and not just kids. I mean, women, men. I mean, they just. Walking on this
at the church Sunday, we were talking about this. We both saw the one woman had one shoe on.
Yeah, yep.
We don't know why that is. That was kind of weird.
Like, I think she figured one was better than none, but
maybe she had an injury on that foot.
Church was another thing, just hooting and hollering and carrying on and dancing.
Singing the choir was amazing.
Yeah, first the children, you know, then the women, then everybody. The voices were really, really good.
The acoustics in that building were amazing.
Yeah,
I could probably play a small snippet of that. I recorded quite a bit of that.
Yeah, and the other thing that was interesting was how they started, right? So the leader would always start in a falsetto voice, like, and then they would break in down.
He almost sounded like a piccolo playing.
Yeah.
Like.
Or like, then, what did I say? Or like a... not a tuning fork, what do they call that? A pitch...
The pitch pipe.
Pitch pipe.
Yeah.
Like he was giving them the pitch pipe, and then they'd break into song.
They would do the dancing. Little trot, little
yeah.
walk,
yeah,
and shuffle their feet, ch, 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 while they were pumping their arms.
Yeah.
It was cool. But there again, was a lot of neat stuff.
How welcoming they were, you know?
Yeah.
Here were these total strangers, you know, from America, and like, what the hell are you guys showing up at our church for? But that wasn't like that at all.
So it's been a pretty amazing couple days.
It's a whirlwind. Well, let's talk about that first day, too. The first day, it's just sensory overload as you're driving in. You know, you're trying to take all this in, and you're seeing, you know, the buildings that are decrepit and run down, and some of them are all painted nice, and there's people that are some sitting on the ground in front of them. You've got music blaring on some of them.
Hardly any electricity in any of the houses. You ride down the dirt road tonight coming back, and you saw maybe five houses that had electricity.
Yeah.
And you know what strikes me here is every road, there's people walking.
Yeah.
Every 15 feet, there's a cluster of people riding a bike, walking, carrying kids, and every 15 feet or more. Just every road, everywhere.
Yeah, and that even includes somebody's coming up the road.
Yeah, I see somebody driving up the driveway there.
Must
I see
be
lights.
Liz, huh? Anyway, well, so what else did we see that first day is, you know, people carrying wood in big bundles on their head.
Yeah.
Or charcoal on the back of their bicycle. And why? Because they cook with wood. Everything is cooked over a fire, right? So one of the big problems here is deforestation because they're using all of this this wood to
There's
cook.
There's no big trees here.
No, very few.
And in Villages and Partnership, folks are having them plant trees all over. Did you see the family yesterday with all the logs? On their bikes?
No.
Some of the houses are built with logs.
Oh. No.
And then the two or three people wheeling bicycles with it looked like log cabin style logs.
Uh-huh.
And somebody asked something about it, and the driver said there was a divorce, and they got the house. And they had taken the house down, and they were transporting it somewhere else. That was what was going on.
Piece by piece. Oh, God. And you're talking about people walking on the roads, even at night. You know, you're walking this... I mean, you're talking that these roads are pitch black. If there's no car coming, it's pitch black. And there's just people walking, riding bikes. And, like, you know, what was funny is to me and to us, it's so foreign. To them, it's like following the streets in your old neighborhood.
Yeah.
You know, these little paths... That we think, like, what the hell is that? To them, that's the road.
We didn't realize when we came up here into the farm, this road that goes by is a to us, it looked like a driveway. It's actually a road, apparently.
Yeah.
And little did we know, the first morning we woke up, there were kids along the road. They came in and started, it came to the window and asked for money. Look at the size of that bug, Bob.
That's a nice one. 150 kwacha. 150 kwacha.
Yeah.
Or then when they were staring at the power bars or whatever you had in there.
Biscuits. They were all excited. But that thing flies over here and lands on me, and we can scream like a girl.
It's pretty big.
It's pretty big. As long as it's not a spider, I can handle it. But
yeah, gosh. So, but I was surprised that even here, the meals that they make for us here are cooked over an open fire.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's just what they have.
Yeah, so far so good. I think the food's been good. We've not been hungry. That was one of the things. Like, we brought all this food and we haven't eaten any of it.
Yeah.
So we still, this is only a couple days in. Yeah. We have tons of adventure to go. Tomorrow we go to a school, teach a lesson about beekeeping.
That should be fun.
And we have a post activity. We're going to paint. We're going to...
Yeah, paint, and what else?
Deworm.
Oh, you deworm the goats.
Deworm the goats.
I want that job.
Yeah.
Yeah, that should be fun, playing with goats. Well, and we'll talk about the school later, but the school is pretty nice that they built, and that's where we're going. So we're going to talk to some eighth graders. We'll do our usual dog and pony show. We don't have a lot of props, but we don't need a lot. And it's short. We're
going to
be
so that's Tuesday of the week. Wednesday we're going to see a commercial beekeeper.
That should be interesting, fascinating, I'll say, to see how does he do it.
How do they define commercial here too? That would be fascinating.
Exactly.
Sure, it's not. So that's the one thing we've learned. Everything you think of is not what you think it's going to be.
Right.
Like the Zomba Plateau behind us is magnificent.
Yeah.
It looked great in photographs, but it's beyond description when you're standing here looking at it out the back window.
Well, all of these huge rock faces, they just seem to explode. You know, the land's all flat, and all of a sudden there's this big rock mountain. And it looks...
Not like we have in, you know, Jersey, Pennsylvania, where we call them mountains, but they're not really mountains. These are mountains.
Yeah.
This thing behind us... looks like the thing from...
That's where I was going.
Yeah.
Yeah, from... Of the Third Kind. Yeah. It's pretty...
Close Encounters. It looks like it's that big.
It's pretty impressive. It's actually...
The first morning when we got up and the clouds were spilling over the top of it, and the moon was above it, it was really, really cool.
Yeah. Well, that's something else we have to do. Kevin... you told me you saw the Milky Way. I want to see the Milky Way.
Oh, it was amazing. When we were out in the village where there's no lights, the Milky Way was just astonishing.
I got to see it.
You got to figure out how to take a photograph of it.
It was a little cloudy last night, so that wasn't good. Tonight was clear, but you still couldn't really see it. But
so tomorrow's the school and after activities. Wednesday is?
Commercial.
Thursday we go... That was a surprise today. We're going to Safari.
Yeah.
And instead of driving there, we're taking a boat.
This ought to be fun. God, if the boats are anything...
What does boat mean here? We're thinking like Spirit of Philadelphia boat? No. We're going to be in like a canoe.
Yeah. So that's kind of our reward for... putting in all the work we put in this week. Is they're going to send us on safari for overnight, which is should be really cool, and it will be nice to relax because we've been busy, and then we come back and we have our wrap up on Friday, and then Saturday off for another 16 hours in the Big Bird. So, okay, well we'll pick this up and tell you about more of our adventures. Tomorrow, maybe the next day.
It's been fun so far.
You can't describe it.
No.
You have to be here. And of course, you've documented the whole thing, so...
I've taken so many photographs, video, GoPro.
And so has...
It's going to take me months to produce it all.
And so has the rest of the crew that's with us.
Yeah, so we...
Gary's taken a lot, Eric's taken a lot, I've taken a few, but put it all together, I think we have probably every moment on tape or in pictures. All right, I think it's time to go to bed.
All right, yep, me too.
All right.
Till next time.